Greg, the thing I want to talk to you about is some work I've done with, in collaboration with Bohman Jankowski, and it provides a simple mechanism for creating or generating CP violation that's not related necessarily to the usual CKM method. So the overview of the talk is first introduction. I'll talk a little bit about higher dimensional theories. Then I'll provide a simple model. As you see, it's very, very simple. It's not intended to be realistic, but I hope it illustrates a method we're putting forth. And the next three sections talk about basically the details of the model, and then I'll talk about conclusions and future plans at the end. Okay, you probably all know that in 1920, Kaluza and Klein, actually first Kaluza, I think, proposed a way of unifying electricity and magnetism with general relativity by assuming that the topology of space is a five-dimensional cylinder. And the excitations around the compact dimension would correspond essentially to the electromagnetic field. This provided produced some certain amount of excitement. However, unfortunately, though known abelian extensions do exist, it appears to be difficult to include chiral fermions into the system. And so, for a while, this approach was kind of forgotten, or at least lay dormant. In 1998, Cunningham-Hamed and collaborators proposed that if one has a space of V dimensions, it provides an alternative to the usual SUSY solution to the hierarchy problem. And just very briefly, the mechanism was to assume that, in fact, the Fermi scale is a one single scale, fundamental scale of nature, that we live in a higher dimensional space of V dimensions, but most of us are localized in a four-dimensional subspace. Most of us mean most particles except gravity. And then a simple calculation shows that one can relate the Planck mass in three dimensions to the four-dimensional Planck mass by this simple relationship. And though five dimensions is ruled out phenomenologically, this six dimensions seemed to be, at least at the time, quite viable. Of course, they also replaced one hierarchy problem, the one that the mismatch between the Fermi scale and the four-dimensional Planck mass, with a different hierarchy problem, the mismatch between the Fermi scale and the size of the extra dimensions. An alternative approach that includes includes similar ideas but doesn't have such a hierarchy problem was proposed by Randall and Sundrum. It's rather famous, and the idea is to proposed a conformally flat five-dimensional metric that included two four-dimensional subspaces. And looking at the solutions of the Einstein equations for such a system and at the conformal properties of the system, they were able to show that there's a relationship between the Planck mass, the size of the extra dimensions, the Fermi scale, and the cosmological constant in four dimensions, which is, by the way, required in this, for this scheme to work. And finally, later on, it was observed by Applequist and collaborators that though these two approaches required most of the fields to be localized to a four-dimensional space, that's not necessarily the only possibility. That if one construct an appropriate set of interactions among all the particles and assumes that they live in the full d-dimensional space, then momentum conservation along the fifth or the four plus whatever dimensions, actually this allows all the large contributions to the standard model. All large deviations from the standard model. And so, phenomenologically, such a universal extra dimension models are actually viable. And I will look at one such extra dimension model with where all the fields live in, as they call it, the bulk. All right, here it is. It's just five-dimensional QED. Very, very simple. The indice denotation is mostly obvious. M and N, capital Latin indices, refer to the space-time coordinates. They go from 0 to 4. And just to remind you, in five dimensions, the gamma matrices are the standard Dirac matrices. The last gamma matrix is gamma 5, in the usual gamma 5 QEDs. And there's the definitions. The one thing that we use is we use the known deviation from the obvious boundary conditions, would assume the fields to be periodic in the compact coordinate. We allow for the fermions to be periodic up to a phase. That's certainly allowed because observables are bilinears in the fermion fields. And just keeping this, on with the description of the model, the gauge transformations are the obvious ones, standard ones. And finally, just to mention the CP transformation, the one I'm going to be interested in is defined in this way, where the epsilons are. I just want to remind you, in odd dimensions, one has to be a little bit careful with parity. Parity invariance is not just the x goes to the space coordinates, goes to minus the space coordinates. That's a rotation. So one has to, say, choose x1 goes to minus x1. Here we've chosen epsilon 1, 2, 3. That means x1, 2, and 3 goes to minus x1, 2, 3. And with this system, what we're going to do is look for, as it says here, non-trivial CP value in vacuum. Okay. All right. The calculation is straightforward. One expands the fields in Fourier modes because of the periodicity condition on them, and considers the possibility that the fourth component of the field, the last component, the one that corresponds to the compact coordinate, acquires a vacuum expectation value. So if this were flat space, that would create all sorts of problems. And in fact, if you calculate the effective potential associated with this quantity A, you would get that the vacuum is at A equal to 0. In this case, it did not be so. And so we're going to keep this in mind, keep this possibility open, and later on examine whether the vacuum prefers or not a non-zero value for A. And so the expansion of the fermion Lagrangian, in this case, in terms of the four-dimensional fields, all these are four-dimensional fields, takes this form. And I just want to point out that some of the, of course, the interactions between the fermions and the last component of the gauge field contain a gamma 5, and so are potentially have interesting CP transformation properties, non-trivial. Faced with this, there is a gamma 5 here, and so it's straightforward to diagonalize the fermion mass matrix to obtain the physical fields. The fermion masses are these, as you see here, it's not a big deal. And what is more interesting, of course, the interaction. What one finds is that the zero Kaluza-Klein mode component of the first four gauge fields couples exactly as a photon. The other ones couple with some rather complicated matrix. The zero Kaluza-Klein mode of the fourth component, the remaining zero Kaluza-Klein mode, is a four-dimensional scalar. And it contains, as you see, couplings that are naively, at least, CP violating. That's what CPV means, violating. To get the complete physical content of the system, we chose this particular type of gauge fixing. Since we'd already violated five-dimensional Lorentz invariance by selecting the fourth component, the last coordinate to be compactified, it is perfectly reasonable to also distinguish between the first four and the last coordinate. I'm sorry, Y is the refers to the coordinate in the compact direction, to distinguish between them in this in the gauge fixing Lagrange. And as you see, the physical content is kind of straightforward that can be inferred from here. The n non-zero Kaluza-Klein modes of A mu will eat these guys, and become heavy, whereas the zero mode remains massless because omega n, which is proportional to n, is zero in that case. The field phi, which is the fourth component, the zero Kaluza-Klein mode of the last component of the gauge field, is gauge invariant. And because of that, and even then, it is important to note that one cannot choose the A4 equal to zero gauge because of the periodicity conditions of the gauge fields. This is similar to what happens at finite temperature, where one cannot choose the A0 equal to zero gauge because of the periodicity on the gauge field. That would correspond to a zero chemical potential. You can always choose a gauge where the chemical potential is zero. In this case, phi plays the role, or at least the vacuum expectation of phi, if present, would play the role of a chemical potential for chiral charge, as we'll see. Now, U1 invariance, the standard gauge in four dimensions, remains unbroken, but there is no symmetry that forbids the physical scalar from receiving a vacuum expectation value. And that's what we looked at. So here's my excuse for being here. Here's the one loop calculation. And so we evaluated this, and we're not going to bore you with this thing. With the intermediate steps, one can obtain a closed expression for this in terms of the standard polylogarithm functions. And what one looks for is the minima of this thing as a function of this A, which represents the vacuum expectation value thing. You might have noticed that I've chosen two fermions, and I'll explain why not one fermion in a minute. Okay? Here's the result. These are the phases for the fermions in that they impose when looking at the periodicity. We've chosen one, alpha 1 to be 0, alpha 2 equal to alpha. And just to, for fun, we've chosen the masses of the two fermions to be close to those of the top-bottom sector. And the size of the extra dimensions to be of the order of a TeV. And as you see, the minimum of the effective potential consistently requires we choose a non-zero value for the vacuum expectation value, for the classical field phi. For alpha equal to zero or pi, the boundary conditions are themselves CP invariant, and so any choice of this vacua represents a spontaneous CP violation. Of course, when we have a different alpha different from zero or pi, then the boundary conditions contain explicit CP violation, and this is standard in looking at an effective potential when one has that type of effect. There are two local minima or more, and but one is certainly preferred depending on the direction or the explicit breaking point. All right, so I've chosen two fermions here, and I'd like to explain what happens when one takes one fermion. And in that case, it is not hard to see that the effective potential contains absolute minima at these values of omega. Omega is essentially a linear combination of, it's basically linear in the in A. In that case, what one can do is simply redefine fields. So one chooses a different set of canonical variables to describe the system. And for that type of redefinition, one finds that the new, that is the effective potential for these new fields in the, calculated in, with this new basis, has a minimum zero. There's no, and in addition, the new fermions are antiperiodic in the compact coordinate, so no CP violation is generated. Equivalently, one can look at this at the level of the couplings. And if one imagines a single fermion, then at any value corresponding to this omega equal to n pi over l, one finds that the fermion spectrum is arranged in pairs of degenerate doublets, and pairs of degenerate fermions, degenerate in mass. And so this can, allows one to define an extended definition of CP transformation that not only takes the usual gamma zero and so on, but also exchanges with these two fermions. And in one actually does this calculation and finds that the Lagrangian is invariant under CP. For the calculation phenomenological application, the one phenomenological application we did, we calculated the electric dipole moment. And here's the definition, standard one. And the diagrams that contribute to this thing are here, the expressions. I'll give you the functions here in a minute. They're not very illuminating. They just are produced by the exchange, really, of all the possible Kaluza-Klein modes. And for the external fermions, we just chose those fermions corresponding to the lowest Kaluza-Klein mode, n equals 0. And we evaluated the dipole moment for that. Here's the result. For alpha equal to 0, and as a function of the size of the extra dimension, one gets a relatively large contribution to the electric dipole moment. And for fixed value of the extra dimension, a function of alpha, again, we get. The different curves here correspond to our summing the different modes contributions, different n. It should be an n. Summing all the contributions from all the possible exchanges, and as you see here, the convergence of the series is quite rapid. Okay, now I'm almost done, so we can all have wine in a few minutes. There are many other observables one can calculate. We refrain from doing so because the model, after all, is just a toy model. And one can, for example, look at upsilon decaying into this physical scalar and a photon and so on. Okay. I must mention, in all honesty, that when I calculated and recalculated the effective potential, the mass of the phi was included. This is obtained by looking at the effective potential and looking at the minimum, as usual, and one finds that the phi receives a mass at one loop. This is formally a one-loop effect, and so if I put it inside my dipole moment, the contribution is formally two loops. We've checked, at least roughly, that this is a dominating two-loop effect, and so we retained it. But we will refine this in the calculation I'm going to tell you about. It's still in progress. And that is doing the non-abelian extension, of course, to actually turn this into a useful and phenomenologically interesting, I guess, model, one should extend this to some non-abelian theory that has the right group structure, the right breaking, and so on. And to that, we're still fighting about. Is that it? I forgot to mention here. I don't know why it's not here. This is not the only one attempt that's been done to give. To talk about CP violation in extended dimension theories. There's Mohapatra and collaborators have had a model where the extra dimension, the compact dimension is actually modular. It's divided by some discrete group, and they have sufficient number of fermions and sufficiently clever choice of transformation properties under this discrete group that the low energy theory naturally violates CP. And the simplest model I've seen contains four bulk fermions in it, in addition to fermions and scalars that are localized to some four-dimensional subspace. So in that sense, our model is simpler. It's more straightforward. There is another calculation by Frère and Cosme and collaborators where they looked at the model very much similar to this, but for reasons that evade me, they didn't look at the possibility of the gauge field getting an expectation value, this famous Hosotani mechanism. And so they produced a much more complicated scenario that generated the that would generate CP violation, which included the assumption that some underlying dynamics generated the right value for certain quantities. I'm sorry, they didn't include the expectation value, they didn't include a phase possibility. And so they assumed the dynamics produced the right expectation value for the gauge field, and that produced, presumably, the right CP violation. A defect in all these models is that I did not provide, and none of these provide, a mechanism through which one can have a real stable solution to the Einstein equations. Why should it happen that space would compactify in such a simple geometry? In fact, there's a calculation of Witten that, at least as far as it goes, in a semi-classical calculation, the five-dimensional cylinder is semi-classically shown to decay into a space that has a hole. And the hole grows at speed of light. So whether the actual configuration, the Kaluza-Klein cylinder configuration, is stable against all perturbations is still, I guess, an open question. Should be investigated further. Thank you.
Are there any questions? No, everybody's tired.
Oh, yeah, good.
To allow for that extra phase in the boundary?
It's easier if I go this way. I think it's here. Here. Yes. All the objects you construct are bilinear in the, like, psi bar psi. And when you can, like, for example, all the observables that you can construct are bilinear. And so you can have...
but you have different fields. It's, you have couples in different fields of index I, don't you?
It is not summed over.
No, it's not summed over, I know, but if you couple different fields, right, then it doesn't go out.
No. There is no, you see.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Michael?
Oh, no.
So just to clarify, you really need two alphas that are different. And if you had one alpha, then that would be like a Wilson line. You could compensate it by an expectation value of A4.
Exactly.
So, and so Hosotani said that in any case that Wilson line wants to go to -1. That's the minimum of the potential.
Mm-hmm.
And he found periodicity in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, again, what are the... So now you have effectively a different Wilson line for each fermion.
Each fermion.
Mm-hmm. And could you tell us again the circumstances under which you have originally a CP conserving theory, so all the alphas would be 0 or pi, for example,
mm-hmm.
but the global minimum is CP violated.
Okay. I guess you mean this. This is not exactly the case where we've assumed that for this type, if you assume that all the alphas, say for example, are 0 or all of them are pi, then you don't get a spontaneous CP violation. What we have is that one of the fermion fields is periodic and the other is anti-periodic. And that is a CP invariant condition at the boundary. And in that case, when you calculate the effective potential, you find that it has a non-trivial minimum. Non-trivial minima, I should say. The fact that the non-trivial minima are degenerate is a reflection that the Hamiltonian is CP invariant.
Oh. first one is the Wilson molecule is high. And it's hard to see whether the alpha is high when the one is exactly the same place or it's slightly shifted.
No, it worked. Wait a minute, I'm sorry. No. This no, it's shifted. I'm sorry, it is shifted. Sorry. No, it is shifted. It is shifted. I'm sorry. It is shifted. I'm sorry. Yes, it's a little shifted. I apologize. I should have put the number. I checked the number. Yes, I was worried about that, and I checked the number. You're right. Thank you.
Okay. Let me turn the mic over to Doreen for an announcement.
Okay, but thank you. Thanks, Jose.